Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love. Father, this morning I pray, let every one of us experience your love. We surrender our heart into your hand. Let you do anything that need to be done in our heart. And mold me more like Jesus. We thank you, Lord. As we sit down and we listen to your word, I pray that Holy Spirit, you minister to each one of our heart. No matter how long we know you or how long we have been a Christian, but this morning, I pray every one of us, you minister into our heart. Mold us. Circumcise our heart. So we will be more like you, Jesus, because only you have a pure heart. That's why. Therefore, we worship you, we honor you, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated down. This morning, I give this sermon, The Veil of Our Hearts. I have read the news few days before. Maybe you also read this news from news.com. This is our politician, Australian politician, and they are talking about one of them, Andrew Broad. They pay with our tax a sugar baby in the overseas hotel. And the news, some of the reporters found out and asked him to resign. And then the other one, Barnaby Joyce, is according to himself, he is a dedicated father, husband, but he cheated on his wife with his own staff. And now he divorced with his wife, and he lived with his mistress and have two children. And I don't want to repeat the news, but something the reporter said is very interesting. They said, but because their private behavior contradicted their public words and action. Our politician, supposed a public figure, but the news, the reporter said, their private behavior contradicted their public words and action. And the other one, there is another one, the quote, yet their own action contradicted their words. How many times we heard people say what they say and what they did is two different things. This is the challenge for us as a Christian, as a believer. And the recent news, the master chef judge, one of the master chef judge, George Calombaris, recently he has been charged for $8 million for underpaying his restaurant staff. He's supposed to be a public figure. People love him. People appreciate him because he is the one who helped people to achieve their dreams through MasterChef. But the news said George is no longer an appropriate ambassador for the brand because he placed his own wealth, his own success, over the well-being of other people. This is again the challenge for us as a believer. In the Bible, we are taught in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. I think there is Indonesian translation. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. What we have in our heart, we will do it, we will speak it. So we cannot deny it. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from your heart. This morning, we will ask ourselves with these two questions. When I talk about the heart issue, I'm not talking to a new people, to unbeliever, no. I talk to every one of us. This is our challenge in our life. Why, the first question, why our action contradicts our words? Why? Why we said one thing and do another things? Why? The second question, how can our action align with our hearts? The first question, why our action contradict our words? Why? We say something and do the different thing. Why? What happened? And according to the Bible, the human has a heart issue. Every one of us, including me, I have heart issue. A lot of time, we say our action is not consistent with our heart. We look at Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16, Moses said, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. Circumcise the foreskin of my heart and be no longer stubborn. This is a command. We have to circumcise our heart. This is our part, not God's part. God's part, he did circumcise, but we have to surrender our heart to God. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 4. Again, Jeremiah repeat, circumcise yourself to the Lord, remove the foreskin of your heart. Because the Jews in the Old Testament, the outward behavior were very important for them. And the prophet saw this as the foreskin of their heart. That is the fleshly, unrenewed nature of human heart. I have this almond seed. This is our heart. If you make a cake, you would know that this almond with the skin would not be sliced for decoration. But the foreskin has to be removed. It can be removed. And it inside there is the white one. We cook and we make a cake from the white inside the almond seed, not like this one. So is the condition of our heart. We have foreskin, and the Bible says, circumcise your heart, the foreskin of your heart. Ezekiel chapter, I have a lot of Bible verse to convince us that we need to do something before God. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19 to 20. And I will give them one heart and a new spirit, God speak to Ezekiel. And a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone and from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them. God speak to Ezekiel when God circumcised the foreskin of our heart. He will replace the stone heart. The heart, our heart is very hardening, and he will remove it and replace it with a soft and fleshly heart, so that we can love our God and obey his word. A human heart is very hard, like a stone, according to the Bible. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 31. Ezekiel says, cast away from all the transgressions which you have committed, and make yourself a new heart and a new spirit. An untransformed, uncircumcised heart causes us to sin. I repeat again, uncircumcised heart causes us to sin. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 2 and 4. Moses said to the Israelites, you have seen all the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, to all his servants, and to all his land, the great trials that your eyes saw, the sign and those great wonders. Moses said, but to this day, the Lord has not given you a heart to understand, or eyes to see, or ears to hear. What did Moses mean? They saw everything, but Moses said, to this day, the Lord has not given you a heart to understand, or eyes to see, or ears to hear. What did Moses mean by this? Moses said, they saw the Red Sea split. They saw many miracles before they left Egypt. Their sandals and clothes had never worn off in the wilderness. They saw manna from heaven. They saw water out of a rock. They saw everything, a lot of miracles. But why did Moses say they saw, but then they didn't saw, they didn't see, they didn't hear, they did not understand with their heart? Why? When we asked the Israelites at that time, what would they have said when they saw all this happen? What would they have said? Of course, they will say, God did that. The miracle has done by our God. So what did they not see? They did not see God as their supreme, supremely precious and supremely valuable. They did not desire God above or else, because they did not see him as their greatest treasure. They needed to have a heart that moved from amazement at the wonders of God to love God himself as their sovereign God. They have seen his power, but they love other things more than God. This is the veil that hindered them to see God as God, the sovereign God. How about us? We see a lot of miracles, but we're looking from one miracle to another miracle. We expect God to solve our problem, but we forgot to see him as our great treasure. all we need is Him. This is the veil that we hinder us to see God as God. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 13, Moses says, that He may establish you today as His people, that He may be your God, as He promised you, as He swore to your father, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That God will establish today with His people, that He will be their God, and Israelites will be His people. This is the new covenant. Moses clarifies this aim. The aim of this covenant relationship is that remind the people so that people understand with their heart and eyes and ears that God is their God and they are His people. That nothing is more to be desired in all the world than this love relationship. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. It says, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. Moses remind the people, circumcise your heart so you can love God with your heart, with your soul, and you live in His word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14, why and who can remove the veil? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul talks about Moses and the Israelites and says, but their minds were hardened, for to this day when they read the Old Testament, the same veil remains unlifted. Because only through Christ is it taken away. Our foreskin, the foreskin of our heart, need to be circumcised by Christ. So in other words, the veil will be removed, will be lifted, so we can see God as God. We're not only amazed at what He does, but we amazed because He is the sovereign God. He is the Savior. Romans chapter 8, verse 7 to 8. Paul says to the Romans, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those in the flesh cannot please God. Why? We have to remove the foreskin of our heart. Why the veil need to be lifted or removed? Because a heart with a foreskin cannot please God. Even we want it, cannot. And the Bible said it's hostile to God. We cannot love God, even God's word. Moses, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel reminded the people to experience God in their heart. Therefore, the foreskin of their heart needed to be circumcised so that the veil is removed and we can see God as God Himself. Romans chapter 2, verse 29, circumcision is the matter of the heart by the Spirit. In the New Testament, in the Old Testament, they do the circumcision that is from a man's genital. But in the New Testament, they say even in the Old Testament, Jeremiah and Moses, they said that we need the circumcision that is of our heart, not our body. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, they are darkened in their understanding. Paul says, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. When we let our foreskin in our heart remain, we cannot please God. We cannot love God because Paul says we have a dark understanding. We have a guilty ignorance in our life and hardness of heart. What is hardness of heart? Pride, self-pity, victim mentality, and the other one is pride, self-pity, victim mentality, and self-righteous. That is the human heart. We need God to circumcise our heart so that our heart will be softened. And the Bible says we can love our God with our whole heart. David, before I continue, the condition of our heart caused the contradiction between our action and our words. It only can be reversed through the circumcision of our heart by God. David in Psalm 119, verse 11, he said, I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Church, we can, as a human, we can not sin. We are able to avoid sin. David says two things that keep us from sinning and move us to glorify God. When we store the word of God in our heart, not only we store and understand and know the word of God, but the second one, we value the word of God and we live in the word of God. That's what David did. The Israelites, they pray to God for deliverance from the Egyptian. They saw miracle and wonder. They said that they were God's people. When they face challenge in the wilderness, they complain to God and they worship idols. We live in the fake world. People want to impress others with their good looking side. Unless our hearts are circumcised by the Spirit of God and the veil is being lifted, our action cannot be consistent. That's why this process is everyday process. It's an ongoing process of our heart. The second question, how can our, before I continue, there is a book called A Shepherding a Child's Heart. So we cannot teach our children from their behavior. But we have to look after the reason and from their heart. That's why if we teach our children, don't ever, never ever ask, why did you do this? Why? No question why. What do you feel when you do this? What makes you anger? We look at the heart of our children. We shepherd their heart, not their behavior. That is very biblical. The second question, how can our action align with our heart? Church, we can show off our good action, but if this don't align with our heart, it only the matter, with the matter of time, the bad side will be revealed. We can improve. If we can impress people with our good deed, with our polite word. But if that not align with our heart, our bad side will be revealed. It's only the matter of time. So how can our action align with our heart? The Bible says, first, repent. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 2 to 3. Moses says to the Israelites, return to the Lord your God, and you and your children obey his voice in all that I command you today, with all your heart, with all your soul. Then the Lord your God will restore your fortune and have mercy on you. Return means repent. Turn to God, repent. If we repent through the covenant, God will cut away the foreskin or the deadness of heart. God does the work of a heart transplant, heart circumcision, heart softening. In the Old Testament, God's restoration depends on our repentance. That is Old Testament. But in the New Testament, we know that the covenant of God is secured by the death of Christ on the cross. If we repent and acknowledge God, seek God wholeheartedly, God will cut away the old life through the Holy Spirit. He will remove our old life so that we can embrace the new tenderness of a heart that loves God's word and is led by God's Spirit. In the New Testament, it's more easier if we repent. We only admit that we are a sinner. Without you, we are nothing. As Pastor Tanwin last week preached about Peter in Luke. Peter in Luke chapter 5, verse 4 to 8. One day, when Jesus preached from the boat of Peter. Peter is a fisherman, and Peter tried all night long to catch a fish, but he did not succeed. He got a lot of experience. He is a very experienced fisherman. In his whole life, he only knows how to catch fish. But he did not catch any fish at night. And after Jesus finished preaching, he turned to Peter. Peter, throw your net on the deep side. And Peter think, what? I did all night and I catch nothing. But because you say so, Lord, I do it. And the Bible says the net was broken. Peter caught a large amount of fish. Because you say so, I did it. I do it, God. And after that, Peter came to Jesus. Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. This is the heart attitude. When we want to meet Jesus, when we want to allow Jesus to circumcise our heart, the foreskin of our heart, to lift the veil so we can see him more deeper and know him more wider. The Bible says, if you seek, you will find it. If you ask, it will be given to you. The first one, we have to repent. Admit, Lord, I'm sinful. Without you, I'm nothing. The second one, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. I repeat again this verse. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. loving God mean? Yang in the second one, first one we need to repent. Second one, we need to love God, treasure God more than everything. There is one young ruler in the Bible that is in Matthew chapter 14, verse 28. The young ruler, he asked God, Jesus, how can I have an eternal life? Jesus said, don't murder, honor your parent, do not steal. And he said to Jesus, I did everything since I was young. And then Jesus said to him, sell all your belonging and distribute to the poor and follow me. And this young man was very sad because he has a lot of wealth, the Bible says. This is the contradiction in our life. Sometimes we say that we love God, but we hold on something or one or someone, and we cannot love God with our whole heart because our insecurity or our security on holding on something. The third one, Deuteronomy 29 verse 9, keep the word of the covenant and do them. In order to keep the covenant and do them, we must believe and embrace the word and the attitude. We must believe and embrace the word. The attitude being broken and helpless without God. Believing is an ongoing condition. We have, in order for us to do the word, we have to believe and we have to embrace with the attitude, God, I humble myself. Without you, it means nothing in my life. Believing, when we're talking about believing, is an ongoing condition of our heart. If we are asked, do you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God? We must ask ourselves, is this belief an ongoing condition of our heart? We cannot say, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, 5 years ago I met God. But what about today? Do you still need to circumcise your heart in order to know Him more and more every day? When we have application in our discipleship, in our life group, there is an application question. A lot of us, we cannot answer the application question. Why? Because we did not experience God in a new way. We only know God in the past. What about today? Our question. Therefore, the Bible says, let God circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Take away the veil so you can see Him and treasure Him more than anything in this life. When I sing an ocean song, the song called Ocean, there is a phrase, let me walk on the water whenever you would call me. When I sing this phrase, let me walk on the water when you called me. Whenever you call me, I have to stop and think, really? Is this what I mean? When God called me to walk on the water, would we say yes or we deny? That is not the voice of God. It's the challenge for me to trust Him more and more with my life. Peter, when he saw Jesus walk on the water, he said to Jesus, Jesus, let me walk on the water and come to you. And Jesus says, please come. And Peter walked on the water. When he saw the wind, he started fearing God. He started with the anxious feeling and fear. And he started sinking. And he cried out to Jesus, Jesus, help me. save me. And Jesus had reached his hand to Peter. And what Jesus said to Peter, you little faith, why did you doubt? This is the challenge for us. Why did you doubt? Because God, Jesus, want Peter to have experience him more and more, grow in faith in him, trust him more and more. Just before Jesus was arrested and sold by Judah, sold by Judah with 30 silver, and Jesus talked to the disciple, you will all fall away. You will all, to the disciple, you will all fall away. And what Peter said, even they will all fall away, I will not deny you. And Jesus said to Peter, before the rooster crow, twice you have denied me for 3 times. And Peter denied Jesus for 3 times. And with this experience, Jesus just want to teach Peter, trust me, trust me. Peter was inconsistent with the word because his heart was covered by fear, not the trust of God. My last example, there is a Samaritan woman, John chapter 4, verse 7 to 30. There is a conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan, a Samaritan woman on the well. And Jesus said to this woman, you need a living water. And Jesus asked this woman, bring your husband to me. And this woman said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, yes, you say the right thing. You have no husband. The one you live now is not your husband. And according to the Bible, the Samaritan woman, she married 5 times. When she fell the first time, she looked for another man. She thought, that is in my imagination, she thought, this man can fill my empty heart. I have to marry him. And then he married the second time. And then it failed because the emptiness is still there. And then he kept marrying the third husband, fourth husband, until the fifth husband. Until the fifth husband, she gave up. And she lived only de facto with this man. This is the example when we do not know Jesus as our Savior, we don't give our heart to Jesus, we misunderstood what our heart needs, what the desire of our heart. We think our emptiness can be filled with anything or anyone. That's not only Jesus. After Jesus ministered to her heart, she was satisfied and happy. And he went back to the town and told many people about Jesus. This morning, my question and my challenge for us. Some people may say, I want to experience God, but I can't. And other people say, I go to church every week, I serve God, but sometimes there is unbelief in my heart. What happened? I invite the musician to come up. My question is, do you want to seek God with a humble and helpless and broken heart, and let God's Spirit circumcise the foreskin of your heart so you can experience him fully? My second question, will you let him lift the veil that hinders you to see, to hear, or to understand with your heart the reality that God loves us? He never leave us nor forsake us. When we face a problem, we focus on the problem and we said, God, when you resolve this problem, when do you take away this problem? We forget to worship him, to treasure him as a sovereign God. He wants us to seek him, not his miracle work. The last question, will you allow Jesus to minister into your heart? Because Peter says he is the creator of life. He can see your heart deep inside. Let we pray. If you want that God do something in your heart, so we can experience him more and more, we can love him more and more, we want to allow him to minister into our heart, please place our hand in our chest. Father, this morning I hear your teaching. I hear what you want us to do. I surrender our heart, my heart, into your hand, Jesus. Let you do the work. Circumcise the foreskin of our heart and take away the veil of our heart so we can see you, we can hear you, we can understand you with our heart, because you are Lord of Lords. You are King of King. Only you know the struggle of our heart. Father, we allow you to come into our heart, minister into the deepest of our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.